In this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised his servant, Yemi Adeleju, to raise models of integrity and power. Models that rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where he has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join Yemi Adeleju for the Word of His Grace.
So that you won't be saying securing one, securing two. This one is retaining everlasting joy. Retaining joy. How do I retain joy so that it will be everlasting? I explained in the first service that joy is a product of an inner peace. A product of an inner peace that comes as a result of a man's relationship with God. That is what joy is. It comes from a man's relationship with God. That's why Job 22 verse 21, the Bible says, acquaint thyself now unto God and be at peace, so good shall come unto you. It is joy. It's a product of this inner peace. The first thing you enjoy or you experience the day you give your life to Christ, if a man gives his life to Christ now, the first thing he experiences is peace and joy. And these also are nature and the characteristics of the kingdom. Joy is a nature and characteristic of the kingdom. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Joy is the nature or a nature and a characteristic of the kingdom. Romans 14, 17. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. It is not in food. It is but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a nature of the kingdom. And I said that joy is also a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. Now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. The fruits of the Spirit. And I said this joy is important, and that's the reason why you need to secure and maintain it, because you can only draw water from the wells of salvation by joy. Everything a man needs to fulfill destiny and purpose is in God, but you need joy to draw it. Number two, I said joy gives you access. Joy gives a man access to good things of life and to God's presence. Psalm 100 verse 4, enter his gate with thanksgiving and his court with praise. Joy gives access. Number three, joy is medicine to the body. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bone. Anywhere joy is lacking, things will wither there. Things wither, things dry up where there is no joy. A shop, a business that lacks joy will dry up, will fade off. So your business, there must be joy. If you want to employ a staff, make it a competent person that is joyful. Competent and joyful. What did I say? Depending on the business you are doing anyway, if you need a staff that will be behind the doors, it doesn't necessarily have to be joyful. But if it will be on the shop floor, attending to people, you need an HR or receptionist, you know, someone who relates with people, or PR, that will be joyful, that will be full of joy, that will be smiling, not a frowning one. Yes, not that kind of a staff. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Joy keeps you from oppression. Number four, it keeps you from oppression. And I said in the first service, you cannot be depressed, you cannot be oppressed until you are depressed. When a man is depressed, he becomes a candidate for oppression. And I said, number five, joy gives you strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, shall be your strength. And then we came to the cross of the matter. The cross of the matter. And I mentioned 3 points in the first service. Point number one, you can only retain your joy. You can have joy and retain it if the weight and the guilt of sin is lifted off your life. The weight and the guilt of sin. Bibeli wipe eleshe la fi shefu. To the sinner is given travail. You will know travail. So sin, when the weight of sin is lifted, and it is lifted off you at Calvary, when a man comes to Christ, the guilt of sin, the weight of sin is lifted off him. And that's the first thing you experience when you come to Christ, and peace floods your mind. You become a new nature, new creature in Christ. The guilt of sin is lifted. And when you are struggling, still struggling with the guilt of sin, with the weight of sin, and then you can't have joy. Because sin will truncate and interrupt and intercept your joy, the flow of joy. And I said that the weight of sin keeps a man on the ground. Mark chapter number 2 from verse 1 to verse 12. The paralytic man was kept on the ground because of the weight of sin. Number 2, I said, if you want to retain your joy, don't make thingometer your measurement or yardstick for success. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And number 3, I said, if you are going to maintain and retain your joy, do not be competitive with life. The standard of others will not be used to measure your success. I hope you know that. You must understand, other people's standard of success will never be used of God to measure your own success. The man with one talent must stop struggling to be like the man with 5. That is the problem with mankind. God has given you 2 talents. And you are angry. You are envying and looking at the man with 10 talents. Rather than maximize your 2, use it productively. You are looking at the 10 belonging to others. So you can't retain joy, maintain joy in such a competitive lifestyle. Let me move on. We have 4 more to talk about in this service. And I want you to please give me attention. Joy is significant. And you cannot afford to lose your joy because of happenings around you. I preached a message some time ago. And I said, one of the things you must never lose, the devil can take your clothes. He could take your garment, your coat of many colors, as the devil did for Joseph. They could take your garment, as Potiphar's wife did for Joseph. They could take your money. They could take your land, your house, anything. Even like Job, your health. But don't let the devil take your joy. Number 4, which is our number 1 in this service. If I want to have joy and retain my joy, then you must not bottle up issues. Are you with me? Don't bottle up issues. You will have joy. You will sustain your joy and retain joy if you don't bottle up issues. The more you bottle up issues, the more you empty yourself of your joy. The more you bottle up issues between you and your spouse, the more you empty yourself of your joy. The more you bottle up issues between you and your co-worker, your colleagues, you are bottling it up. You are bottling it up. The more you empty yourself of joy. And watch out for people who bottle up issues. They are always sad. Because they keep remembering the hurt. They keep remembering what you have done. That's why there was a man who bottled up issue between him and his wife. He kept bottling it up. It is women that do that. But this man was bottling up issue. In fact, he had a diary that he listed what his wife did. And so they came to a reconciliation table. I invited the couple. And then I said, okay, kilo B inu. And then the man brought a diary, B. And began to, issues bottled up. As long as you bottle up issues, don't forget, you empty yourself of your joy. So a man who wants to have joy must not bottle up issues. You must not bottle up issues. To have joy, to draw water from the wells of salvation, to have joy, to assess God, to have joy, to move forward, to have joy that gives you strength, to have joy that is medicine to your body. Then, don't bottle up issues. Someone said that the biggest cause of relationship problems is not things forgotten that should have been remembered, but things remembered that should have been forgotten. So our problem, they are not in things that we remember. I mean, that were forgotten. Things you forget. Things you have forgotten that should have been remembered. But they are things you should not remember. Things you should forget that you keep remembering. When issues are bottled up in you, don't forget, number one, it empties you of your joy. And ultimately, issues bottled up can lead to an implosion. Internal implosion. Boom. And it leads to depression. When a man bottles up, he should bottle it up. The day the man will break, the man or woman, the day the woman will break out. So to have joy, don't bottle up issues. Let issues go. What did I say? Let things go. Let things go. Don't bottle things up. That is very important. If you must have this joy, everlasting joy, the forever joy, stop bottling up issues. And if there are issues you have bottled up, start emptying them. Empty yourself of them now. Get rid of them from your mind, from your heart. Get rid of them. Number five is similar to number six, number four. Number five, if you want to retain your joy, then you forgive. You must forgive and not be bitter towards anybody. Tell your neighbor, for me, forgive and don't get bitter. Say it again. Listen to me, people of God. We live in a community with people. And not everybody will see things the way you see it. And people will always be offending you. Particularly the closest person to you, your spouse. People will be offending you. So if you want to be happy, you want to be joyful, learn to forgive and don't be bitter. I can tell you this, husband and wife, learn to forgive and not be bitter. Parents, learn to forgive and not be bitter. Children, forgive your parents. Don't be bitter towards them. Forgive your colleagues. The day I started having peace and joy not interrupted is anytime anybody does anything silly to me and I have offended, I give them the benefit of the doubt. I explain their misdemeanor or misbehavior away in terms of their immaturity. I say that's the level of his maturity, and I let it go. And I tell my wife that when I say no, it's his level of maturity. It's a level of maturity. That is the only thing you can do to help yourself. Because the man who does not have joy wants to tamper with your own. Get here. He doesn't have joy. He wants to tamper with your own. The man who is always beating his wife. You keep helping them solve problems. And he's a pastor, he's a preacher. He won't be happy when he sees the peace, the joy between you and your spouse. He will be wondering because he sees his inadequacies. And so he wants to scatter your own or he creates problems for you. Forgive. In Genesis chapter 50. Now, before we go to chapter 50, let's first branch in chapter 41. Chapter 41, and I think in verse 50 and verse 51. Quickly. Media, Genesis 41:50. I'm talking about where Joseph had a child after he was crowned. Media, are you with me or for me? You are the first person in the first service did faster than you. And unto Joseph were born these two sons before the year of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bear unto him. Look at verse 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. Meaning, for God, said he, hath made me forget all the toil and all my father's house. I forgot it. Verse 52. And then the name of the second he called Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Fruitfulness succeeds forgetfulness. To be fruitful, you have to first forget and forgive. Are you with me? To maintain your joy. Joseph said, God has made me to forget all the toil of my father's house, all the troubles of my father's house. I have forgiven them. I forgave them. I forgave them. What they did to me, I let it go. They abused me, I forgive them. They defrauded me, I forgive them. They cheated me, I forgive them. That brother asked me out, and I agreed, and he wasted my time after 4 years, and he jilted me, I forgive him. Difficult. But before Joseph became fruitful, he first forgave. He was forget. He forgot. Forgot. That person borrowed money from you, didn't pay. And you are looking at him. When you see him, you are like very angry, of course, naturally. But for your own sake, forgive. In Genesis chapter 50 that I mentioned, and verse number 20, Genesis 50, 20. But as for you, Joseph was telling his brethren, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Are you following me? Please, for your own sake, forgiveness. And don't allow bitterness. Don't allow bitterness. George Herbert said, and let me quote him. He said, he who cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over the which he must pass. He who cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must have to pass. Forgiveness. And don't be bitter. Bitterness is a desire, a longing, a craving for punishment of another person. He has done me something bad, let him be punished. Could you please take those children to the treasure hall, the children's hall? Thank you. God bless you. Are you with me? Shall we go with try idea? I'm fun again. Again. Don't be bitter. Somebody did me evil. And I was so sad. And I was so bitter. And I was praying for vengeance. God vindicate me. I was praying for vengeance, asking God to justify me, to vindicate me, to punish that person. Because what would have made me feel vindicated was punishment. Has it ever happened to you? You know, I'm not a liar, I've told you. If I ever tell you, won't feel somebody should be punished. No way. That you will wish it's bitterness. And the Lord said to me, I heard this voice when he said, you can never get better being bitter. And he says, don't be bitter. Don't be bitter. Don't be bitter. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that you are the prisoner. Bitterness. Let me show you bitterness. Three drama people. Where are they? Where are you? Samuel. Where are the drama people? Come. Miriam. Come. Stay here. No, Miriam will come up and he will open it. Stay here. Stay there. Femi, no. Victor, stay there. Femi, okay, Victor. Lobe. Femi, ma drop el, kode budoku. Amule, Masha. Ema wo kode budoku, ma jeu jabo kode budoku. Deko juwe. Do you have any control? You see, it's a very simple, you know what I'm saying. Bitterness is like holding a match. It burns whoever holds on to it. Are you following me? Oju e kan fi mora owo e gan show e pe o fi mora nbile oju e bo fi mora ko toju. You see, that's exactly what bitterness does. It burns. It's like a match. It burns whoever holds on to it. The more you hold on to bitterness, the more it burns you. You want to lose weight. The person you are bitter against does not even know. Angry, bitterness. I was bitter. Let me tell you what happened to me when I was still living in foolishness. In, you know, well, I see a small, small of foolish behavior, stupid behavior. I was angry. I got home. Thank you, Victor, Miriam, Femi. I got home expecting food at the appropriate time. And food was not ready. I had complained, and I had fought. I had said, me like you, and we have settled it. My food, dinner must be ready. So time. So I got back from office, got back home. Each time I get home, the first thing I want to shower and then change in my house. I wear shorts. So I changed, wore my shorts, and then went to the dining food. My wife said, sorry, Onje, you ready? And I got hungry. What's wrong with you? You know what I mean by... If you don't understand, wait till you are married. Raking. Then I got hungry, then went back to my study, wore a jean. I was wearing a t-shirt, took my car key, and I drove out to Tantalizers. And I bought food. I bought three. Myself and two children. And we were four in the house, myself, children, and my wife, four. So I bought three. So I gave to my son, gave to my daughter, and no, it was four. We were five in the house. So I bought four. Gave to the girls and gave to my son, and then my own. I put it. So I went back to the study to remove the jean and wear my shirt. When I got back, my wife was eating my own. And she said, that's me. A selfish deal. You now go for yourself and your children. Bingo. So I just opened my house and I saw it. What are you doing? I am angry with you. I was angry for nothing. The person I was angry about didn't even know anybody was angry. And she ate my food. Bitterness. The person you are bitter against does not even know. It is you that is suffering the brunt, bearing the brunt. So why could you be bitter? If you want to have joy, please forgive and don't be bitter. What did I say? Please forgive for your own sake. Now you give me food, praise God. You don't give me, I complain as he play with you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ah, shout hallelujah. Let me close. I have two more points to make. Point number six. You will retain your joy if you acknowledge that what God allows, he also uses. Did you hear that? You must come to that understanding that what God allows, he also uses. Anything he allows in your life, he will also use it for his glory. He allowed Lazarus to be sick, but it was for his glory. Whatever God allows, he uses. So he told the folks around, he told his disciples, this sickness of Lazarus that you people are talking about, he is not for death, though. It is that the glory of God be manifested in him. So whatever God allows, he uses. Let me tell your neighbor, preach to your neighbor, whatever God allows in your life, he uses for his glory. Say it again. Having that understanding, we keep your joy intact, no matter what happens. You know your life is in God's hand. He cannot mismanage your life. And nothing has happened to you without his permission. And he wants to use it. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. And we know that all things works together for the good of those that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. In Psalm 105, let's look at Psalm 105 from verse 17. The Bible says concerning Joseph, Psalm 105 from verse 17, he sent a man, underline sent. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. His brother sold him, but God was sending him. In his being sold, he was being sent. They were selling, but God was sending. They didn't know that they were selling, that God was sending. But God allowed the selling of Joseph. But God was using the selling as his sending. Oh, how do I explain my God? They were selling him, but excuse me, you are not selling this guy. God was sending him. But he had to go through a means, through a process, through a procedure. That's what I mean by saying whatever God allows, he uses. He uses. He could have prevented his brothers from selling him, but they sold him. Listen to me. Whatever he has allowed in your life, he is able to use it for his glory. The circumstance or circumstances he has allowed, he wants to use it. For his, that is the meaning. I saw it. He sent a man before them, even Joseph. Look at the process. Who was sold for his servant? Verse 18. His feet. Verse 18 says his feet was hot. Verse 18. I will throw you stones. Whose feet they hurt with fetters. And he was laid in iron. It was God that sent him. Look at your neighbor again. Tell him, whatever God allows, he also uses. Anything. So have this understanding and it will keep your joy. If he allows it, he's able to use it. If he allows it, he's able to use it. If he allows it, including your mess. Including your mess. Permit me to talk about this precious daughter who lived a very messy life. Messy. It was a very messy. But you see, when God begins to use your mess, you freely talk about the mess. You talk about it. She lived a very reckless life in secondary school. She was dating boyfriends and then got pregnant. If I had a kid, you know, men friend. And when God arrested her, when her life was transformed and changed, she became a preacher. And she was talking to you. She took a ministry to the youth. She was always going to secondary school to tell them, I was messed up. I messed myself up. So a message came out of her mess. What God allows, he uses. He allowed God to use that to teach people, to tell them, hey, don't fall into that trap. There's a landmine here. There's a landmine here. I fell into it. I fell into it. Don't fall into it. What God allows, he uses. Excuse me. Don't throw up your hands in jubilation and say, yes, the bad thing I'm doing. Pastor said, what God allows uses. And I continue. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Because the way we hear a message in church is very fantastic. Can we go and continue, Pastor? Yes, honey. What God is saying, I saw this, the message, the grace. You just turn it to anything. God will use it. Don't worry. Let me finish. If you die, boom. Where you will meet yourself. I was told today that a great man of God, or man of a great man, died. I don't know. Pastor Kewusi was one that told me, and I verily believe him. Praise. Shey, you know Tibo? Shey, Otiti Pada. It's true. Kilo ruko eni na. Eh.
ko se ni ti o mo ni ku gbogbo wa la pada lo si bi ta ti wa awaye oku o si gbogbo wa la pada lo. There is an appointed time for a man to die once, and thereafter is what? Judgment. Look at me, forget about that one. Don't forget what I told you before. When a man of God dies, nothing of God dies. Finally, to maintain your joy, focus on what you have, not what you don't have. One of the biggest causes of sorrow and heartache is focusing on what we don't have. It is quite unfortunate that in life we underrate what we do have, we overrate what we don't have. What we don't have is what we overrate. And many times people don't value what they have until they lose it. Focus on what you have. It is a law of the soul that the more we focus on what we have rather than what we don't have, the more the soul begins to thrive. I want to plead with you. Focus on what you have. What you don't have now, you don't need now. When the need arises, or the need, God will bring that thing to you. Focus on what you have. You have life. Thank God for life. Make the most of your life. Make the most of your life. You have clothes to wear. Use them well. Wear the two clothes you have. Wear them well. Use them well. Don't mess them up. Don't mess them up. When I had one pair of trousers and one shirt, blue shirt, I can never forget. In my dream, I see the shirt. Blue checkered shirt. Cube. It's like cube. Blue, white. Short sleeve. And my trousers, I jumped up. Not deliberately. And I lose the hem. It was still jumping. Then I will use suspender. I lost suspender for two reasons. One, I didn't have it. Two, suspender will be comfortable. Bet is yet. If I put bet now, I want to eat. I will see that. I will losing it. I want to eat. I will losing it. I don't like it. But when you just put the suspender, it's okay. So I didn't have bet. I didn't have suspender. And I will still wear suspender. The thing is jumping. And suspender will help me pull it again the more. And then I will. So in Sister Nike's house, this is Sister Nike, they used to think, the way I used to dress, one shirt. That boy is a medical student. He's studying medicine. You understand? Praise God. And those who were hiring me there were hiring me because of the way I was dressed. Let the IRS, those who are hiring you, what do you call them? Mommy, the Oloyibo. IRS. If you are not IRS, those who are hiring you, the IEs. Let the IEs continue to hire you. Focus on what you have and use it well. Stop focusing on what you don't have. It will be bring sorrow. It will be bringing sorrow if you focus on what you don't have. It will bring only sorrow. What you don't have will come when the time arrives. Permit me to tell you again. I was grateful to God that I pastored a church of 50 people. And how possibly could I be driving a car as a pastor over 50 people, most of whom were students, including my fiancée, my wife now, student in university. Where will I get money to buy a car? We didn't even have a church hall. If I had money, it's in a hall we will look for. I left the practice of law to do that full-time ministry, pastoring 50 people. And then a friend of mine bought a car. We left school together. And this guy will get a job and bring it to me. Yemi, how do I? And I will put him through. I wasn't practicing. I was into full-time ministry. This way. Find this application like this. Do this. And then we go and do it and we make money. And then we are, Yemi, thank God. Can you hear Oshé? Lawyers. And then he bought his car. And he brought it to me as a man of God to dedicate. And I dedicated. We had another friend. And he came to me and abused me. He said, Yemi, what are you doing? You are just there preaching. This is our friend, just bought a car. And you are not even thinking. Did he buy my own car from the market? No. He couldn't have bought my own. Few months after, this guy bought another one car, second car, within 6 months. Did he buy my own? Have you gone to any car market and you didn't see? They said this car, so your own is not there because your friend, your neighbor that bought, he took your own. So your own is not. Is it possible? So why are you angry? Anything you don't have, when the time comes and the need arises, if you don't have money to buy it, it will be gifted to you. I'm telling you. Do you have a car? When the time came for me to drive a car, to have a car, the first car I bought, the money was given to me, 220,000 naira cash, buy a car. And I took the money and I went to Cotonou by myself. I don't want any agent to remove commission. And I bought the car and I brought it to Nigeria by myself. Somebody drove it. I didn't drive. I took somebody who knew the way. But it's the time came. When the time came for me to drive a Jeep, somebody bought it and gave. I wasn't thinking of a Jeep. You were thinking of buying me a car, Pastor Mattis. You were, all of you pastors, they were doing secret arrangement. Let's buy a car for this man. And I didn't know. They thought I would know. Pastor Demola was trying to lie. He was the accountant. He was lying codedly to me. So I saw an account. And I said, which account? He said, call the accountant. Which account? I said, oh, is this account the women account? He said, yes, sir. So I am a lawyer. And somebody said, yes, sir. Yeah, sir. yes, sir. So the I need the first is a lie, yes, sir. It's a lie. I know. We study people demeanor. Demeanor. You study if you are going to get the truth. You study their demeanor. When people lie to me, I know they are lying. Yes, sir. Women account, still woman. And I put it to you. He said, yes, sir. Because he didn't know what to think at that moment because I put it to you. They contributed 530,000, 550,000. They wanted to buy a car of 3,500,000 naira, 3.5 million naira for me. And they were able to contribute. Yeah, and then when I see Pastor Wan to say, O Jemilo, O Jirimio. Who not German man pastor? O Jemilo, O Jirimio. I know O Jemilo, you pay your own contribution. You have not paid. O Jemilo, O Jirimio. When they say that, I decode. I don't need anybody to tell me they are doing something, planning something for me. O Jemilo, O Jirimio is the supervisor, coordinator, arranger. And when it was time, while they were contributing money, one person gave me the Jeep and gave. I'm telling somebody here, don't let your joy be tampered with. Someone is telling me a miracle is coming your way. The Lord, my God, will bring it to you. Stand up. My time is gone. I feel like just praying for you. The Lord, my God, will bring it to you. I'm converting this meeting to prayer. The Lord, my God, will bring it to you. Media man with me, let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 27. Genesis chapter 27. Look at it there. We want to pray this morning. The Lord, my God, is bringing something awesome, something great to you. People don't get it cheaply and easily, but the Lord is bringing it quickly to you. He's bringing it fast to you in the name of Jesus. Can I hear your louder amen?
Amen.
And Jacob, verse 19, Genesis 27, verse 19, and I will read verse 18. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Jacob said, I am Esau. I have done according to as thou biddest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison,
that thy soul may bless me. Pay attention to verse 20. There's a line there I want you to notice. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee. And then he said, the Lord thy God brought it to me. Wow. Verse 20. And that is Oshé. Oshé, you are with me. And Isaac said unto his son, listen, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly? Nile won won itete ri. But this man tete ri. So he now said, how is it that you found it so quickly? Then he said, because, that's a because, the Lord that God brought you. Kini won ki tete ri nile yin. What blessing, what miracle is it that doesn't happen quickly, ordinarily, naturally for them in your family? I want you to raise your voice and call your father in heaven and say, Father, bring it to me. The Lord God of my father, bring my desired miracle, my husband, my wife, my promotion, my land, my house, bring it to me in the name of Jesus. Someone should pray. Something is happening in this service. Something is happening right now. Right now. Something is happening. Shenandra yalana barabadadada. What is it that people are expecting to be delayed? Enembandro yobo. Is anybody praying? The person praying, you are contacting God. It is meant to be late. It is meant to happen late. But the Lord God of my father, bring it to me now. Pray for your son. Pray for your daughter. Pray for your children. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Can I hear a triumphant amen?
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's choice servant, Yemi Adeleju. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join Yemi Adeleju in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda Juwe Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.